American songwriter Irving Berlin wrote, "Got no diamond, got no pearl. Still I think I'm a lucky girl. I've got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Got no mansion, got no yacht. Still I'm happy with what I've got. I've got the sun in the morning and the moon at night." This is the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. It's Thanksgiving week, and most of us will gather this Thursday to count our blessings and offer thanks to God, from whom all blessings flow. In giving thanks, it's easy to remember the extraordinary things in life: promotions, luxuries, home, family, friends. But there's much to be said about the extraordinarily ordinary things in life: the sun in the morning and the moon at night. When giving thanks, poet Gerard Manley Hopkins, Father Gerard Manley Hopkins, gives us an example of praise for the ordinary. And I asked Wyoming Catholic College President Dr. Glenn Arbery to talk with us about Hopkins' poem, Pied Beauty. Dr. Arbery, before we get to the poem, tell us a little bit about the poet. Who was Gerard Manley Hopkins?
He was an Englishman who converted to Catholicism more or less as a result of the influence of Cardinal Newman. He was a poet from his early age, and when he joined the Jesuit order, he actually destroyed most of his poems, which is kind of disturbing. I think he thought that he had to achieve a state of detachment that would make him, you know, more acceptable to God. But I think once he got into the order and started writing again, his superiors saw that that was perhaps a mistake. God would certainly be pleased by what Gerard Manley Hopkins was writing. He had a kind of checkered career academically, I think largely because he didn't fit easily into the way that theology was being taught in the universities. He was more an advocate of Duns Scotus than of Aquinas, for example. You see that in his poetry, this real concentration on the, you know, particulars of things rather than universals. So, you know, he had some troubles, and he was sent to Ireland to work at Trinity University, I believe, and he wasn't very happy there. So there's a series of poems that he wrote fairly late in his life that are called the Dark Sonnets or the Terrible Sonnets. And they're about struggling with despair. Wonderful poems, you know, so he didn't lose that capacity. And obviously, even the darker sonnets always exhibit this capacity for joy that you see in much of his poetry.
Will you recite Pied Beauty for us?
I will. Pied Beauty. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire-coal chestnut falls, finches' wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, and plow, and all trades, their gear and tackle and trim. All things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, adazzle, dim, he fathers forth whose beauty is past change. Praise him.
Why dappled things?
I think that Hopkins is just trying to get at that quality of change and that you see everywhere. You know, when you look at the sunlight coming through a tree, you know, and the branches are moving a little bit in the wind, and the sunspots are sort of all over the ground, that kind of image appeals to Hopkins a great deal. Dappled things, things that are full of difference and change. This is another way, I think, that he differs from the emphasis that you sometimes get in philosophy on those things which are always and everywhere true. The phenomena of the world are not like that. they're always full of movement and difference. And that's what seems to attract the poetic eye of Gerard Manley Hopkins.
And what are some of those dappled things?
Well, he goes through them. You know, he kind of gives us his example here. Skies of couple color as a brinded cow. So, you know, I bet this line has sent more people to look up brinded more attention than the word brinded ever got, you know. But, you know, a cow of two different colors, right? Mm. Skies that are like that, you know, white or blue, or, you know, other colors at the sunset or sunrise. This is, you know, dappled. That is, you know, it's not all the same thing. So, you know, he goes through giving examples in the poem itself. And I always think of you, Jim, when I read the third line. Rose mulls all in stipple upon trout that swim.
Well, you know, every brown trout looks basically the same, but everyone is different.
Yeah.
And those bright red spots with it surrounded by black and
right.
gold.
This is a line that has to appeal to any fly fisherman, right? So, you know, he's that Hopkins would love the look of the water, you know, when the fly touches it, or, you know, the circles that come out from anything dropping into the stream. This is the kind of phenomenon that he concentrates on and associates with the glory of God. You know, glory be to God for dappled things. This is part of the infinite variety of creation.
It's interesting that Hopkins doesn't just look at the dappled things of nature, but adds human dappled things. The plotted and plowed land, all trades, their gear and tackle and trim. That seems rather a surprise.
Yeah. Well, I think he's, you know, it's all kind of, for him, part of the same phenomenon of just difference, you know, in so many different aspects. We tend to see this from an airplane. You know, landscape plotted and pieced. I remember it's been quite a while now, but flying in over Ireland and seeing the green landscape broken up into so many fields, you know, and forests and so on. But when you fly anywhere and you see the way that the land is cut up into pieces, you know, fold, fallow, and plow, you get the different textures of the soil with what Hopkins is dealing with here. And when I read that line, all trades, their gear and tackle and trim, you know, I think about going out to the horse barn and seeing all the stuff there, you know, that you have to have ready to ride horses. Or going into a hardware store and you go down an aisle and you see all these tools have such infinite variety. Or looking into someone's toolbox or a fisherman's gear, right? And you see all of these things as part of what Hopkins is celebrating in this poem.
Now let's go on to the second stanza and the string of adjectives. Counter, original, spare, strange, fickle, freckled, swift, slow, sweet, sour, adazzled, dim. What are we to make of all that? Or,
well,
is that just a giant dappled thing?
Right. Well, the words themselves kind of give that effect, don't they? Counter, original, spare, strange. So, you know, you're sort of piecing out meanings there. What are things counter? Well, things you don't expect, right? Original, that you wouldn't have expected that either, because this is something you hadn't seen before. Spare, what? Not many of them, right? Or left over or whatever, right?
Or not embellished.
Right. Yeah, exactly, right. Something that's just kept to the very minimum of what it is, right? Strange. You know, again, all things counter, original, spare, strange. You get the effect, right, coming across. Whatever is fickle, we usually criticize people who are fickle because they're always changing. But this fickleness is something that he's praising. Freckled? Who knows how? The poem kind of teases you. Swift, slow. sweet, sour, a dazzle, dim, you know, all these, again, all the differences and things. And then moving, right, sort of inexorably from the first line to the last, glory be to God for dapple things in the first line, and then he fathers forth whose beauty is past change, and the next to the last line, praise him.
So you have an inclusio,
right?
Bookends.
Right, yeah. There's a kind of bookend here. He fathers forth whose beauty is past change. It's a lovely idea, right? That it's God whose own beauty is past change, but who indicates what that beauty is by this fathering forth of all these different dapple things, right? These phenomena. By the way, there's a Catholic journal called Dappled Things, mm-hmm. a literary journal that our listeners might be interested in looking into.
Dr. Kent Lesnowski is
one of the contributing editors.
Yes, he is. How could this poem inform our day on Thursday, or every day after that, even?
Well, I think a lot of ways. Just, you know, the little things of making a meal, you know, paying attention to the different foods, the textures, the colors, all these things that go into making the meal, but also just a kind of gratitude for whatever each instant brings. That seems to be part of Hopkins' teaching, if you can talk about it that way. The variety of created things that we get to enjoy moment by moment. His poetic emphasis is always away from the uniformity of thought and into the particulars of the created order. And then from those particulars back to a kind of re-understood grandeur of the unity and perfection of God. That seems to be the movement you see in Hopkins. So that everything that's surprising and different is a way of taking you back to those qualities in God. You think you know him, right? You think you have it all figured out, that God is one. Well, what's in that unity of God that you haven't considered? For example, all things counter, original, spare, strange, right? Are those part of the qualities of God that you think of, or is it just this big monolithic oneness? You know, that I think Hopkins is always teasing us out of our opinions that might get too easy.
Well, I love that he's glory to God for all these very ordinary things.
That's right. Yeah, they're all ordinary things. And if you see them aright, they cease to be ordinary, you know.
Great. Would you read the poem again?
Sure. Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire coal, chestnut falls, finches wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, and plow, and all trades, their gear and tackle and trim. All things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, a dazzle, dim, he fathers forth whose beauty is past change. Praise him.
St. Augustine counseled, delight in him from whom you have received everything that delights you. And what delights us, if we stop to think about it, is not necessarily the big things in life, but the small things that, unless we're careful, we'll miss altogether. Dappled things, like skies, couple color, brindled cows, stippled trout, finches' wings, plowed fields, and workbenches full of tools. The air we breathe, the water we drink, the sun in the morning, and the moon at night. May you have a delightful Thanksgiving day. counting, counting, and recounting your blessings. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.